on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Explosions flared in the skies over Jerusalem and Tel Aviv today, and sirens are being heard again in Israel. Less than 24 hours after Israel struck Iran's nuclear program and top generals, Iran has retaliated. The BBC's Sebastian Usher in Jerusalem.
It's a major escalation in the long-running confrontation between the two countries, which erupted into direct conflict last year. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been championing such an attack for years, against a foe that he regards as not just an existential threat to Israel, but to the whole world.
Former National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster.
What Israel's done is actually phenomenal in terms of the performance of Israeli intelligence and the IDF. I mean, this is an operation, I'm sure, that was at least 2 years in the making.
The Trump administration says the U.S. is not participating in Israel's strikes on Iran, but American forces are helping intercept Iranian missiles. Tomorrow, on President Trump's 79th birthday, the Army's 250th anniversary, will be marked with a massive military parade through Washington, D.C. Here's David Martin.
Metal doesn't get much heavier than this. The Army's main battle tank rolling off a rail car after a 2,000-mile trip from Texas for Saturday's parade.
How much does one of these guys weigh?
This is almost 80 tons.
Colonel Camille Stalkoper says there are 28 tanks, 150 armored vehicles in all.
How are you going to keep these things from tearing up the streets?
We put on brand new track pads on every track vehicle.
The military presence in L.A. grows even larger as protests continue against ICE detention sweeps. CBS's Camila Montoya-Galvez says the agency's operations have gone beyond their original objective.
President Trump's dramatic and sweeping crackdown on illegal immigration is extending well beyond the dangerous individuals that his administration promised to target. We have seen an increase, for example, in worksite operations across the U.S. targeting workers who are in the country illegally but who lack a criminal record.
ICE had a record number of high number of detainees in custody nationwide, 56,000 as of this morning. A rapper shows up for Sean Diddy Combs' sex trafficking trial. CBS News New York's Alice Gaynor.
Kanye West, now known as Ye, showed up to the courthouse for Sean Diddy Combs' trial.
Are you here to support Mr. Combs?
He didn't answer my question on the way out, but told another journalist when he arrived that's why he was here. He was in the overflow courtroom watching a feed of the main courtroom with one of Combs' sons, but left after a few minutes of testimony.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It's the Brewers and the Redbirds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 2 of the Brewers and Cardinals tonight. The Crew with a 6-0 shutout of the Cards last night, thanks to Jacob Mizorowski in his first major league start. One of his fastballs measured at 102 miles per hour. Meanwhile, Aaron Civale upset he's being moved from the starting rotation to the bullpen and says he wants to be traded.
There's no ill will towards anybody in the city. It's been great home to me and my wife for the past year. I know there's probably going to be some animosity towards this type of thing. There's a negative connotation when this type of thing comes around, but just trying to do what's best.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy responded.
I mean, we deal with players being unhappy all the time, and that's their right to do, and Aaron's got a great history, and he's performed well for this organization, and now it's time for him to go behave.
In college football, the Wisconsin Badgers fined by the NCAA for some recruitment violations, making calls to prospective players before the start date 2 years ago. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, few showers and thunderstorms, and lows around 50 to the low 50s. For tomorrow, more clouds than sun, high in the low 70s, and a couple of storms popping up. Mid-70s Sunday, isolated storms. Right now it's 53.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, author Laura Bird talks to us about noteworthy memoirs to put on your reading list. And what's the difference between a memoir and an autobiography?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. The Maggie Don Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Don Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, will be here for hour number two.
He has what do you think column. We're going to talk about?
Yeah, he's got a new column in the Recombob area, and it's making some waves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Should Governor Evers run for a third term? We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but Dan Schaefer will be joining us after the 10 o'clock news. We will talk about his latest column. If you don't subscribe, I highly encourage you to do so. Mm-hmm. It's really pretty inexpensive.
It's very expensive, and you're getting multi-award-winning journalism, opinion columns. It's great.
It is great.
Like I've said before, if they never won an award before this year, they'd still be a multi-award because they won like four or five this year.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Yeah. So, yep, Dan Schaefer joining us in hour number two. Also in hour number two, as we tend to do after the 10:30 news.
It's a good rhyme.
We like to do a little audio sorbet segment. It's what we call it anyway. It's a chance to get away from the news and take a breath and just talk about the sillier things.
Yeah.
Lighter things. Mm-hmm. Whether or not this is going to be light or not, because you and Calvin got into it pretty good, last week? I think we were talking about this off the air. Yeah. Today's audio sorbet will be day versus night weddings.
Yeah.
When should we be celebrating weddings?
Yeah.
Daytime only, according to one person that's sitting across from me, or at nighttime, according to the person sitting in the producer's booth. Day versus night weddings, that's audio sorbet after 10:30, and we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing around 10:51. Today it's the You Dirty Rat edition. Stay tuned for that. There's a visual element as well. Today is the final day of our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest. So be listening after 11 o'clock for the keyword that you want to text in via the Civic Media app. And then you'll be in the running either for a hot $100 cash, a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and then everyone who enters in the drawing for one of two grand prize trips, either a getaway to Door County or Baraboo, and gas money to get you there. 11 o'clock, 2 yes. o'clock. Mm-hmm. 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Your last shots today. This is the last day of the contest. You could be a winner, just like Rhonda in Madison, listening on WMDX. Dave, who is streaming on WRJN here in Racine. And Colleen, also a winner, listening on WPFP.
Ooh.
So be ready for that keyword coming up after 11 o'clock. Listen for our voices.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the Tom Hartman Show. Statewide. Text to win. Scotty Summer Contest.
And then when that all wraps up, we're going to go back to free ticket Fridays. So don't go anywhere.
With Brewers tickets. Exactly. And those are four packs. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, this we did want to start off with this because, wow, this is quite a reversal. Donald Trump yesterday in a press conference. Our president said this, quote, our great farmers and people in the hotel and leisure business have been stating that our very aggressive policy on immigration is taking very good longtime workers away from them, with those jobs being almost impossible to replace. In many cases, the criminals allowed into our country by the very stupid Biden administration are applying for those jobs. This is not good. We must protect our farmers, but get the criminals out of the USA. Changes are coming. Okay. Obviously, we're talking about the immigration crackdown, mass deportations now.
Yep,
that's what he campaigned on. They had big signs at the nomination here in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Mass deportations now.
They wanted to get rid of all the criminals, get rid of all the murders, get rid of all the what you think immigrants are when... Yes, get rid of the criminals. Fine. No one is against that. If they're get rid of them, cool. But the problem is that people who are here legally, people who have done the work, people who have done it
and are even people who are currently in the process of applying for permanent status, they're showing up at their court hearings in some instances.
Yeah.
The judge is dismissing the case. They walk outside and they get arrested.
I mean,
they are trying to use the process that we have in place.
Yeah. We've said this before, and the battle cry from the right has always been, well, if you just did it the right way, if you just did it the legal way, people are.
Yes.
And I'm thinking actually of like the students who are here on student visas who all of a sudden had their visas pulled for no reason. There's no explanation. The universities couldn't tell these. I have a friend who's here on a student visa getting their PhD. And the look on her face when I saw her the day after was white as a sheet.
I bet.
Because she had no idea what was going on. The university couldn't tell her anything. She was getting no answers from the government. But she's here legally. She's got a visa. She's paying all the taxes she needs. She's doing exactly what you said they need to do. And they're still getting rid of these individuals, people who are protected by the courts, people who they want to throw immigrants from Britain and France into Guantanamo Bay. So how are they going to make that distinction? What are they going to do?
Well, and that's the big concern is that these arrests seem to be happening pretty willy-nilly with a lack of evidence, say that the people that they're grabbing are criminals.
Yeah.
And what really amazes me about all of this, Project 2025 and the Trump people have been working on this for more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the mass deportations now, they've been working on this for a long time. This was a pillar of the campaign.
Well, yeah.
It never crossed anybody's mind that this would have an impact on industries in the United States, like our farmers, like hospitality, like healthcare aides. Nobody, that never came up in 2 years. And I go back to again, does no one in this administration play things out to the end?
No, I don't think they do. I believe they think that the people are going to love it so much or just accept it, and there won't be protests, there won't be blowback, there won't be apparently. And also, it's not been 2 years. I mean, it's part, yes, Project 2025 has laid out the plan, and we've been talking about it since last year. But there's a guy next to Donald Trump who's been talking about this for over a decade, and that is Stephen Miller.
Absolutely.
He goes to bed every night praying to the God of immigration, whatever that may be, saying, please let this plan go through. Because he wants nothing more than, I believe, a white ethnostate, but whatever. But he wants immigrants out so bad in this country that this has been all he's been working on, and just spitting the most vitriolic venom bile at people about immigrants, lying about it, that once now that it is in place, now they've gotten their way, because they're not just getting rid of the criminals, which is, by the way, you would think they would talk about that. They would say, like, hey, we got rid of, like,
absolutely.
Today,
where's your wins? Yeah. Where are the big wins?
Yeah. They think anything's a win until we say, but this person's here legally. Why are you doing this? And then they get all, oh, and now we have President Taco here caving in again, saying, well, the farmers and the
hospitality industry
and the leisure people. If you pick a vegetable and you go to a hotel, we need to make sure. Now you care about farmers. Now you care about these people. What's going on?
Well, and again, I go back to this never crossed anybody's mind when they were talking about mass deportations, that this would affect the economy of America's farmers, America's restaurants. That it's yet another sign to me of the massive incompetence.
Yeah.
Of this administration to think about ramifications, to think about consequences when you do these things. And it's interesting that you brought up why the administration is not touting all of these horrible criminals that they have been arresting. The Representative Tony Gonzalez, the chair of the Congressional Hispanic Conference, they have numerous Republicans on this panel. They have actually sent a letter to immigration asking for specifics of the 100,000 individuals who have been deported since January. How many are convicted criminals? Please give us a breakdown of their criminal offenses by category. Mm-hmm. Of those 100,000 people, how many are from ICE's docket from last year? Of those 100,000 people, how many have ties to criminal groups, organizations, or gangs like Tren de Agua, which was the Argentinian gang that got referenced so often? What obstacles have you faced in repatriating those individuals? What resources do you require from Congress to improve these actions? What policies from Congress would help you in pursuing convicted criminal aliens? But again, we have Republicans in Congress who are going to immigration saying, where's the proof that of these 100,000 people that have been deported since the beginning of January, that they're criminals?
Show your work. And I don't usually do this, but before the show went on, somebody texted about this topic. I'm assuming that Pat was also discussing this matter. And of all the things they said, one thing that really stuck out to me, they said, why even bother having a process for residency and citizenship at all? If this is your opinion being that we as a show or as a network or as the libs think that people should be able to walk in the country and stay forever and that's it. Nope. But that's not the thing. None of us believe you should be able to just walk in the country without going through the process. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody. I personally, I'll speak for myself. If you come to this country and you want to stay, there's a process, and we have a process for residency and citizenship. The problem is, to this person who texted in, is that we're snatching up people who are abiding by that process.
The midst of the process.
We are arresting and deporting people who are doing exactly what you want them to do, and now that they're gone, you have nothing to say. Well, they must have been a criminal. Well, then show me their rap sheet. Well, they must have done something wrong. Then tell me what that was. But if they're going to court to go in front of immigration judge to do what they're supposed to do, and it's a trap, then this process was never really, I shouldn't say that. The process is real. Your desire for them to follow the rules, quote unquote, was never real to begin with. Because now that they're doing it, you don't even like that, which just says you don't like these people and you don't want them here.
Well, whether or not anything is going to be done about this seems unlikely. Tom Homan, who is the border's czar, told the Washington Post he has not discussed with the president any changes to protect farm or hotel workers, and he has not been part of creating any policy to protect certain types of workers. Quote, I have not seen any instruction, anything that changes in the near future.
MyVote.WI.gov. Call up your congressmen and your senators. Tell them how you feel about this. If they think they're doing a good job, whatever. But if you don't, tell them exactly what you're feeling. Because if they don't hear from you, they don't know that they might be voting for things you oppose for. Especially those guys up north.
Senator Alex Padilla from California in the news. Yeah. We'll explain why on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks.
Yeah. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor joining us after 10 o'clock. To talk about his latest column, getting some traction, about whether or not Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term as governor in Wisconsin. That's coming up after 10 o'clock. Right now, though, if you joined us at the top of the show, we were talking about President Trump yesterday saying, oh, my goodness, I didn't realize we were snatching people from farms and businesses and hotels with, immigrant workers that they need. Mm-hmm. So he says, we're going to do something about that. Tom Homan, the border czar, says, we're not going to do anything about that.
Yeah.
And this goes back to one of my main gripes about this administration is I think they are massively incompetent.
Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
I think the lack of foresight about what these mass deportations now are going to do to various industries across, this never crossed anybody's mind.
Yeah.
Up to this point. That this might affect some industries in the U.S. is mind-boggling to me.
Well, because every time, they sort of have, if you remember the responses to these questions. I mean, I'm even thinking of someone like Howard Lutnick in front of Congressman Dean. Where we were talking about, like, you know, there's always we can do it here instead. Get Americans to do it. Build it here. Grow it here.
Right, right.
Manufacture here.
Right.
Get Americans to work in the
farm.
We're
going to make bananas.
Get people to work in the hotels. That's fine. Just do it in America. America, America, America. That's the solve. That's always the solve. It's never, and that is such a, a brain dead version of isolationism where they think that America is the fix when
America alone,
when we are a country. When, first of all, we're a country of immigrants here on very, very not our land. Sorry to get a little political there, but also we are a country built on partnerships. We have never thrived in isolationism. We have thrived in partnerships. And to just say, well, we don't need immigrants here. We'll get young kids to do the work. They're not doing it. We'll get auto workers to build iPhones in America. That's not going to happen. So every time you confront them with logical reasoning, with very simple questions, honestly, like you were reading before, this 100,000, show us how these individuals are criminals.
What are they accused of? What are the crimes? Let's see it. Lay it out.
They're not going to answer. And Howard and Thomas Holman's like, no, we're going to keep going.
Yeah, he said, I've heard nothing about this. And again, this just goes back to what I think. I think they are massively incompetent, mm-hmm. as evidenced by this from the Washington Post. The Trump administration races to fix a big mistake. Doge fired too many people.
Womp, womp.
Across the government, officials are rehiring federal workers who were forced out or encouraged to resign. The FDA in spring fired almost 50 workers in the Office of Regulatory Policy, only to turn around and order them back into the office in a day. Yep. In one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oops. Oops. Who runs a business like this, much less a country?
Jane, you know who runs a business like this? A guy who bankrupted casinos.
Oh, there's that.
You know, that's just what I'll say to that. But you know, it's the notion of we've lived with this notion. And I think a lot of us have bought it. And I think there are some truths to it, that bureaucracy is slow. It costs a lot of money and government can get nothing done. Well, what we're seeing from Doge, and specifically a person who used to work for Doge coming out and saying it, is that the government actually runs fairly efficient. It's not perfect, but it's not the swampy cesspool that we've been led to believe, absolutely. At least for the past 10 years with the whole drain the swamp junk.
This from NPR, former Doge engineer says federal waste and fraud were relatively non-existent.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was working for Doge. Savia Lavingia told NPR, I was personally pretty surprised, actually, at how efficient the government was. He said the overall message of Doge was a vibe of ask for forgiveness, not permission.
And that right there,
Jane? So just go and do it.
Yes. That right there
first
is the answer to the question you've been asking with regard to why did they not have foresight? I don't think they cared about foresight. They wanted forgiveness because this is also a society that with at least with Trump, when he screws up, and he says, well, we'll fix it with the farmers and the hotel people. People are going to say, oh, well then, okay, cool.
Now it's done.
So all they do is ask for forgiveness.
Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Gene, we got about 90 seconds before we got to go to the news. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
I just want to remind people that Trump hired these kind of people the first time he was in. They hired Carl Icahn, who was a corporate raider who almost shut down Uniroyal for the workers' pensions years ago. And I saw him in that office. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Bye. Appreciate it, Gene. Well, you cut out there a little bit, but thank you.
Yeah.
Always appreciate from hearing from you. You can always join us as well at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you are watching on the live stream. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Senator Alex Padilla from California, a little run-in yesterday during a press conference with Kristi Noem. Mm-hmm. We will kick that around on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
CBS News Special Report. Air raid sirens again sounded in Israel tonight, and Iran fired more missiles, according to the Israeli military. As CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem reports,
Israel is expected to continue strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities, and Iran is expected to continue retaliating with these ballistic missiles. So we're likely to see some tit-for-tat attacks on a very heavy scale over the next couple of weeks, or at least the next few days.
The UN's nuclear chief says Israel has destroyed the above-ground portion of Iran's main nuclear facility. Ahead of a United Nations Security Council meeting, Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Danon, said,
"We are preparing the population for very intense days ahead of us. We will continue to act until we will know that we eliminated the threat."
UN Chief Antonio Guterres says enough escalation, time to stop. The White House says the U.S. is only helping Israel intercept missiles launched by Iran. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
It's the Brewers and the Redbirds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 2 of the Brewers and Cardinals tonight. The Crew with a 6-0 shutout of the Cards last night, thanks to Jacob Mizorowski in his first major league start. One of his fastballs measured at 102 miles per hour. Meanwhile, Aaron Civale upset he's being moved from the starting rotation to the bullpen and says he wants to be traded.
There's no ill will towards anybody in the city. It's been great home to me and my wife for the past year. I know there's probably going to be some animosity towards this type of thing. There's a negative connotation when this type of thing comes around, but just trying to do what's best.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy responded,
"I mean, we deal with players being unhappy all the time, and that's their right to do, and Aaron's got a great history, and he's performed well for this organization, and now it's time for him to go behave."
In college football, the Wisconsin Badgers fined by the NCAA for some recruitment violations, making calls to prospective players before the start date 2 years ago. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Alan Ritchson has played Reacher for 3 seasons now, and season 4 is currently in production. It's a good gig because there are 29 Reacher books, and each one equals one TV season, which could keep an actor working for quite a while. The role is iconic and based on the books by Lee Child. Ritchson says when he won the role, he was nervous about trying to fill the shoes of Tom Cruise, who played the character in the movies. Ritchson says he was really thrilled when he got the part, but recently said that he was even more excited when he realized the character Reacher in the book eventually has thinning hair. Richson says he erupted in cheers when he read that because there is no pressure now to not go bald, which for a guy can be a challenge over the course of 29 TV seasons. Great show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, few showers and thunderstorms, and lows around 50 to the low 50s. For tomorrow, more clouds than sun, high in the low 70s, and a couple of storms popping up. Mid-70s Sunday, isolated storms. Right now it's 53.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by Matt Rothschild. We go deep on book banning in Florida. Did you read Judy Blume? Did you like it? Well, Florida kids won't be able to read it anymore. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mox, Sweet Gal be on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Joining us after the 10 o'clock news, Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Dan out with a new column this week on whether or not Governor Evers here in Wisconsin should run for a third term. Should be a very interesting discussion. You are more than welcome to take part. That is coming up after 10 o'clock. And just a reminder, too, we got some baseball action coming up later on today. The Brewers hosting the Cardinals. Our broadcast starts at 6:35. You can catch the game tonight on terrestrial radio, on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. They have Lumberjacks next month.
They do.
So be listening to the crew host the Cardinals. Our broadcast starts on those stations at 6:35.
Can you hear that, Jane? It's the sound of the Brewers going to second place in the division. Or second place in the in their division. Whoa, that sounds great.
That does sound great.
Oh, that's a wonderful sound. Let's keep it going, boys.
You're very excited about that.
Very excited.
And Nuke, I'm going to call him Nuke now, the new kid on the mound for the Brewers.
The Miz, that's his nickname, the Miz. Mizorowski.
Nuke is better. He had a good showing, but then they had to pull him out. Mm-hmm. He had a no hitter going.
Yeah, he did, and that's what we always, when there's always a no hitter, we're like, hey, let's stop this.
Yeah, pretty exciting. So go crew, hosting the Cardinals later on today. Our broadcast starts at 6:35. Did want to spend a little time on this, and I'm curious to hear your comments. Again, at 855-752-4842. This from the Washington Post. Democratic senator forcibly removed from DHS news conference as tensions flare. I was scrolling. I was home doing some work yesterday afternoon when this came across. It looked really bad.
Yeah, this was all
across the news. The visual was not good.
No, I mean, visually looks awful. But I think that they don't care, you know.
I'll give you that.
You know, because I mean, we're going to listen to him talk about it. But it was all across the news, and it was everywhere. Every station was carrying it, and it was just this image of a U.S. senator being forcibly
shoved,
and thrown to the ground, and detained, and handcuffed for asking questions. You know, and they're going to paint the narrative. They're going to paint the narrative that he rushed
the podium.
Yeah. There's once again, no proof, none whatsoever.
Well, and after he was cuffed.
Yep.
He met with Kristi Noem for like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And there was also Corey Lewandowski, who was a big part of the first Trump administration, who apparently follows Kristi Noem around like a puppy now. But he was running down the hall saying, do not do this. This is a sitting U.S. senator.
Corey was. Wow.
Yeah.
They're probably going to fire him for having such, you know,
right?
Vision and
we do have a clip from Senator Alex Padilla, again, from California, after yesterday's incident. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
So here's what happened. So I'm in the conference room a couple of doors down waiting this briefing with representatives of Northern Command. We learn almost on the spot that there's this press conference going on down the hall. Now my briefing is delayed because of the folks in that press conference. From the moment I entered the building, I'm being escorted by a member of the National Guard and an FBI agent. I asked, well, since we're waiting, can we go listen in to the press conference? They escort me over to the press conference. They open the door for me. I'm standing in the back, behind the reporters, behind the cameras, just listening in. And at one point, the rhetoric just got to be too much. Not the first time, but the second time the secretary takes it upon herself to say that the Trump administration wants to liberate the people of Los Angeles from the governor and the mayor. It was just too much. And so, yes, I said who I was. I began to ask a question, and it was maybe half a second later before there was multiple agents on me. They shoved me outside. I was trying to both get my question out and not lose my balance. You know, one is telling me, get down on my knees. Another one's pushing me in a different direction. There was no resistance. And to the contrary, I kept asking, why am I being detained? Get down on your knees turns into flat on the floor. I'm trying, but I'm being pushed and pulled in different directions. I'm finally down on the floor. They handcuff me multiple times. Why am I being detained? No response, no response, no response. Finally, minutes later, I guess somebody around the secretary realizes this is the United States Senator. And they come running down the hall and finally say, let him go. Again, the point is, if it can happen to me in that setting, imagine what they're doing to people all around the country. And Aaron, let me also underscore this. Yeah. It's not just about immigrants' rights, which so many peaceful protesters are shouting about in Los Angeles. It's about all of our rights.
It's about all of our rights. That's Senator Alex Padilla speaking to the media after he was Kristi Noem's press conference yesterday, wanted to ask a question, says he identified himself, at which point, I think they were Homeland Security.
I saw FBI,
or was
too.
It FBI as well? Shoved him out of the room, got him down on the ground, cuffed him.
Yep.
And then, as you just heard, someone apparently said, yeah, don't do that. It's a sitting U.S. senator.
Yeah.
And then he met with Kristi Noem for about 15 minutes, apparently, after this happened. But I think that's a really good point that he makes. If they can treat a sitting U.S. senator like this in public, on camera, what are they doing when they're not in those conditions? Well, how are they treating people when they're not being surveilled?
Well, let's just look at what's been happening. I mean, we see ICE agents walking in unidentified, wearing masks, arresting people willy-nilly, throwing them in jail, deporting them. We see, because the thing, and when I want to believe, and I do believe that when Senator Padilla says, if this can happen to me as a senator, it can happen to all of us. He's not talking about all of the people who voted for Kamala Harris. He's talking about every citizen in this country.
Absolutely.
And as we have put out many, many times on this show, there comes a time when you're not good enough for them, when you are just expendable, you're not patriotic enough.
They'll you're not come, loyal enough.
They'll come knocking on your door. And you will not have the luxury of someone standing over you going, don't do this. They are a U.S. senator or a congressman or a judge. Or, I mean, I see videos of FBI agents undercover getting arrested by cops. And they're saying to them, I'm an FBI agent. And they have to pull the wallet out and get identified. That's after they're in cuffs and they've treated them like garbage. Like, this is happening all the time on the streets. And if it can happen to FBI agents, if it can happen to a U.S. senator, it can happen to any one of us. And there will not be a person shouting, hey, Jane's innocent. She's just here. She was just getting, you know, like,
she was just asking a question.
She was just walking down the street and she wanted to get some groceries. Like, it's literally like, we don't have those advocates next to us. And even if we did have someone who says, because we also see videos where people say, hey, they're not involved. They're innocent. They're this, they're that. The authorities don't care.
855-752-4842. Curious to get your reactions to what happened yesterday with California Senator Alex Padilla. Tony on the live stream says, which side likes these optics more? Dems getting to clearly show the overreach of Trump, or does Trump like looking like a strong man? Well, he certainly loves looking like a strong man.
Absolutely.
There's no question about that.
I've seen the AI imagery that's generated that he posts himself. This is all about looking USA strong, beating the chest and being all freedom.
I think Senator Padilla brought up a really good point as well, in that Kristi Noem is trying to go in there saying, we are rescuing Los Angeles. The governor, the attorney general, the chief of police, the mayor, none of them have requested this additional help from the federal government. The federal government has decided this is what they're going to do. What happened to states' rights?
Oh, they love states' rights until they don't. Until they don't. I mean, just as a side example, they love the individuality and of the states and the communities and the municipalities too. I've been thinking about Wisconsin here. They love They love to not be in the way until they want to be in your way. And then they're gonna tell you, well, you need to do this. You need to spend money on this. We're going to send troops your way because, you know, we don't like these people trying to express themselves, bound by the constitutional rights to do so.
Alex Padilla, again, yesterday, taken to the ground.
Yeah.
Trying to ask Department of Human Services Kristi Noem a question during a presser. She was holding a presser.
Mm-hmm.
The Trump administration has encouraged federal authorities to exert power over protesters in L.A. The Trump administration says they're rescuing Los Angeles, even though Los Angeles hasn't asked for a rescue.
Didn't someone use the term liberating? I feel like someone used the term.
I think she said liberating.
Yeah. Kristi Noem did. Steve on the text line says, talk about how Trump is taking us back 100 years, attacking civil rights, stealing from Americans, and doing impeachable things with Doge cuts and breaking the emoluments clause. There needs to be more pressure on these Republicans in Congress. They're actively dismantling the republic. They better get some spine soon, or we, the people, won't have a republic. And there is truth to that. And let's... Also, I don't want to, this isn't a squirrel. This isn't a distraction, but it sort of is too. People protesting is important. People showing up and assembling and speaking their voices that is protected by this Constitution is important. But the sending of National Guards to Los Angeles to a small portion of Los Angeles.
A very small portion, actually.
The governor of Texas deploying 5,000 troops throughout the state to protect the way that Florida is talking about this. This is all to distract from the fact that they are gutting Medicaid, gutting Social Security, gutting Medicare, gutting SNAP, taking from us, getting rid of. They're going to raise our taxes like they did, and they're going to walk away with humongous tax breaks. Millionaires and billionaires are going to do that. They're doing this. They're doing all of this stuff and saying it's about America while they are stealing from your pockets, your children's pockets, your grandchildren's pockets. That's the important part to remember, too.
And we have a comment on the live stream that seems to go along with what you're saying. D.D. Coogie says this is a huge problem. I think Trump just wants to get his big, disgusting bill passed in the Senate.
Yep.
This will allow him to get away with all of this stuff he is pushing on U.S. immigrants. He will go after U.S. citizens next.
Absolutely. Yes. And Oh, my God. I apologize for my spiciness right now because I feel like I'm one step away from tinfoil hatting this thing. But the way they are leading this game right now, that is what it feels like, because they are slowly gutting freedoms that we never messed with even 10 years ago.
Well, and we don't have time to get into this. We'll probably do it next week. The whole masking issue.
Yeah.
Now they're saying protesters cannot wear masks, but ICE is perfectly justified in being masked. Mm-hmm. So are we teaching our little kids now that if a white unmarked van drives up and someone in a mask and a flannel shirt says, I'm with the federal government, get in my van. Is that what we're teaching kids now?
Well, I mean, we're certainly not teaching them accountability. That's for sure. Because when we ask these questions, Jane, why are you masked? Why aren't you identifying us? We get no answer. We're told to shut up. And this is what we do. And this is how we work. No, that's not how this works, because there'll be no one left.
You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sport.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter Friday. That means Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area. He is going to be in studio with us after the 10 o'clock news to talk about his latest column, getting some attention, talking about whether or not Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term here in Wisconsin. So I hope you can stick around for that when Dan joins us. Also, a reminder, today is our last day for the statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest. After 11 o'clock, listen for the keyword. You want to text it in using the Civic Media app. Up for grabs, either $100 in hot cash. Or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. And then everyone is in the running for one of two grand prizes, either a getaway to Door County or Baraboo, and gas money to get you there. So be listening after 11 o'clock for that keyword and get ready to text in and win, just like Cheryl and Muscadet. Listening on WRCO.
A lot of winners in Muscadet.
Yes.
That's a hotbed of winners.
And also Park Falls, too.
Yeah.
Lots of winners in Park Falls. And Chris from Edgerton, listening on WMDX. Congratulations. You could be a winner as well. Be ready after 11 o'clock. Going to spend just a little bit of time on this before we go to the news. And we did spend a little time on it yesterday, but it still makes me laugh. Republicans... This is the headline from MSNBC. Republicans struggle to defend Trump's parade as tanks roll in to D.C. Many GOP officials appear to have no idea what to say about the president's parade, and some won't be there either. Most of the Republicans in Congress are not going to his big ego parade tomorrow.
His birthday party. He's throwing himself a birthday party.
Yeah, a birthday party, which just happens to coincide with the 250th birthday of the Army. Yeah. We pointed this out before. The Navy's got their 250th anniversary coming up in fall. So do the Marines.
Marines are turning 227 this year.
I have not seen anything about birthday parties planned for them. Just this one.
Yeah.
Which coincides with the president's 79th birthday.
Is he only 79? I thought he was turning like 200. God, he seems so old. Yeah. I mean, I am really surprised that they're not being told they have to attend or else.
I am too.
But it really, there's also no like real good reasons either. Like, I got to catch up on the show Poker Face. I got Peacock for the 7-day trial and I can only get, so I can't.
Don't you wonder what their excuses were though?
Oh my gosh.
Glenn Grothman, you're too busy.
There's a pancake breakfast that needs to be pancaked. Derek Van Orden has kids he has to yell at.
Derek Van Orden, of all people you would think, would be there.
He's too busy keeping us up to speed on what's going overseas in Israel and Iran. He's
all over that.
Ooh, there's tweeting about. It's like so hot and fresh. It's like just smoke coming off that phone.
But you may want to call your local Republican representative.
How would they do that?
You go to myvote.wi.gov.
Nice.
Ask him, gosh, if we're going to shell out at least $45 million for this vanity exercise tomorrow, you'd think they'd have the courtesy to show up.
Yeah.
Even Ron Johnson, Wisconsin senior senator, said, well, you know, it's their 250th birthday. I guess it's kind of a splurge. Ask our Republican representatives about this little $45 million splurge.
Yeah.
When we're talking about kicking people off Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act, and we can't afford to feed kids, so we got to cut SNAP. But $45 million for this is a good use of American money.
Do you know, I would say this, if they were saying, we're going to throw a parade on Saturday, it's going to cost $45 million because we're going to announce that day that we're going to spend $10 billion over 10 years to help veterans, I'd be like, all right, let's celebrate that.
Yeah, wouldn't that $45 million be better spent actually doing something directly for our veterans?
Absolutely, because something is better than nothing, and that's exactly what they're doing for them. And not only that, they're making it worse by gutting access to the VA. I mean, I've heard, Derek Van Orden said he looks forward to the cuts proposed to the VA. I don't know whether it's cutting it completely or just the cuts, but he said to someone in a hearing that he looks forward to the cuts. Now, just because you're a vet doesn't mean that you automatically love the VA. I know vets who do not like...
The VA is not perfect.
No, it's not. But I think the reason why it's not perfect is because we don't properly invest in it. So, yeah, $45 million on Saturday to watch the troops march up and down the street.
And rip up the streets of D.C.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I want 3 months. I want a report showing how much it actually costs.
It's going to be more than $45 million. Yeah. John from Oshkosh listening at WISS says, so much for the appropriation of government spending. Who approved this? Good question, John. Mm-hmm. That's a very valid question. And I think the one big takeaway from this is that the major networks are not carrying this.
Nope. Not even Fox, the network, not the news. I'm sure the news station will have it in Fox News, but Fox itself as a network will not have it. And I want to make a point on this, too. This is something he wanted to do in his first term.
Yes.
And if you want an example on how there are no guardrails, it's this right here. Because when he got in office the first time, the generals, the military, the Pentagon said, no, we're not doing this. This is a waste of resources, a waste of time. No. Now it's happening because there are no guardrails. The generals are silent because they're afraid for their jobs.
Or they removed them already.
Exactly. So, yeah, this is a perfect example on why guardrails and checks and balances matter.
And I think there's going to be a whole lot more attention tomorrow on all of the other protests that are happening around the country.
Yeah.
As opposed to what's going to be rolling down the streets in D.C.
And there's a 45% chance of rain in D.C.
Oh, that would be a real shame. News is coming up next, and then Dan Schaefer will be here to help us recombobulate. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The conflict intensifies between Israel and Iran. CBS's Erica Brown has the latest.
Warning sirens sounded in Israel as Iran launched another round of retaliatory strikes early Saturday. Just outside Tel Aviv, a rescue operation was underway after an Iranian missile struck an apartment building. The Israel Defense Forces said their Iron Dome system intercepted most of the missiles Iran aimed at Israel, and the U.S. provided additional help, according to White House officials. But a number of injuries were reported in Tel Aviv, where multiple sites were hit during Iran's counterattack.
President Trump said he knew Israel's operation against Iran was in the works. Today, he spoke to Israel's prime minister by phone and held a meeting with the National Security Council. What's happening in the Middle East could affect your wallet. CBS's Kelly O'Grady explains.
That's really the big concern, that all of this unrest...